दिया करुए दासे तृण पे खाते ही ना
गुरुदेव कृपा बिंदु दिया करुए दासे तृण पे खाते ही ना
सकल सहने बल दिया करो निज मान स्पृहा
सहने बल दिया कर निज माने स्नेह
विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताका स्वामिनिति नामिने नमो आचार्यपादाय निताय कृपाप्रदायिने गौरकथाधामदाय नगरग्रामतारिणे नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे ओम अज्ञानातिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं भंगुं लंगायते गिरं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं कृष्णचैतन्यईश्वरं हरे कृष्ण मै रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबीसेंसेस टू ऑल द डिवोटीज देयर एट कृष्ण कथा देस वांछाकल्पतरूभयश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनंतकोटि वैष्णववृंद की जय जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन वर्तमान गुरुवृंद की जय हिज होलीनेस जयपताका स्वामी गुरु महाराज की जय हरे कृष्णा सो आई एम हैप्पी टू बी हियर कृष्ण कथा देश यात्रा आफ्टर ए लॉन्ग गैप आई होप ऑल ऑफ यू आर डूइंग वेल इट्स ऑलवेज ए प्लेजर to be in your yatra, to associate with the devotees out there. Yes, I did have a physical association of all of you a couple of years ago, but I'm always regularly in touch with all the devotees there, and such a sweet and growing and sincere and amazing community you have there. So today I have been given this wonderful service opportunity to speak about the pastimes of our beloved Guru Maharaj. It is certainly such a pleasure and such a privilege to get this opportunity to speak about him, speak about a pure soul, to speak about this glorious pure devotee of Lord Shri Krishna. As I begin the class, I'm just reminded of this pastime which is mentioned in the Mahabharata. how when Yudhishthir Maharaj, he organized an Ashwamedha Yajna, he had this big huge bell there. So the bell signifies, if the bell rings after the Ashwamedha Yajna, it signifies that the Yajna is successful. But this time when Yudhishthir Maharaj performed the Yajna, the bell did not ring. So he was wondering, what did go wrong? So did he displease the Brahmanas? Did he not do the Yajna properly? Did he not do the charity sufficiently? So he sent his ministers and so he sent his soldiers. They went around the kingdom. They asked everybody, are you all happy? Are you all satisfied? But there was this one Brahmana, he said, I'm not happy. And he hadn't come to Yudhishthir Maharaj's palace to accept any charity. So the minister says, what can we do for you? He said, you send Yudhishthir, I will speak to him directly. So when Yudhishthir Maharaj went and pleaded, oh dear Brahmana, please come to my palace. I feed you sumptuously and I give you nice charity. Please bless me so that I can complete my Ashwamedha Yajna. So the sadhu said, I'm ready to do that, but I have a condition. He said, what is the condition? He said, first you give me the fruit of whatever, 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and then I will come. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, I have no problem to give you the fruits of 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, but the only problem I'm facing right now is I have just completed my first Ashwamedha Yajna. So let me complete my another 99 Ashwamedha Yajnas and definitely I'll give you the fruits of all Ashwamedha Yajnas to you, but let me just complete this successfully, and it will be completed successfully only if you come to my palace and you accept charity and you become satisfied. So the sadhu says, no, unless you give me the fruits of 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, I don't come. And Yudhishthir Maharaj says, but I don't have them because I haven't performed it yet. So now it remains like this. The Yudhishthir Maharaj goes back to the palace, doesn't know what to do. So he's been worrying and worrying. So one night Draupadi asked, why are you so much worried? He said, this is the problem. The sadhu is not coming. He's asking me to give the fruits of 100 Ashwamedha Yajna, whereas I haven't even completed performing one successfully. Draupadi says, oh, it's a very small matter. That's all. I'll bring the sadhu tomorrow. So she goes, speaks to the sadhu, brings him to the palace, feeds him, gives him charity and sends him away. Yudhishthir Maharaj is surprised. How did you do that? I've been trying to convince him and convince him. And then Draupadi said something so beautiful. She said, when I went to speak to the sadhu, he gave me the same conditions. But I told him, Sadhu Maharaj, according to the scriptures, when you leave your house, you depart from your house, thinking about a sadhu in the mind, with all enthusiasm, oh, I want to go and meet this sadhu purush, I want to go and meet this holy man. If you think like this, and you come out from your house, then every step that you take is equal to 1 crore Ashwamedha Yajna. So the fact that I came from my palace to meet you, holy Brahmana, I've already performed so many Ashwamedha Yajnas, so here I give the results of all my Ashwamedha Yajnas to you. Please come to our palace. So there is this beautiful saying, which is also mentioned, I think, in the Tulasi Ramayan. It says that, Sant milan ko jaiye teje maya abhiman. Ek ek pag aage dhare kotin yajna saman. When with that desire you make a move from your house, oh, I want to meet the santa, I want to meet the holy sage, that desire itself purifies you. Every step that you take is equal to 1 crore Ashwamedha Yajna. So I was just wondering that the fact that you have invited me on this virtual Sangha to speak about this holy man in our lives, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj, that every moment that we think about him and meditate about him and speak about his glories, and then coming to this place to give this class, every step is like Ashwamedha Yajna, crores of Ashwamedha Yajnas, because we are remembering a pure devotee of the Lord. So my heartfelt thanks, gratitude to this Yatra devotees for giving me this wonderful service of remembering and meditating on Guru Maharaj. So today I plan to do something different. during this last 2 years of COVID, I've been speaking to various yatras and various JSS groups where I've spoken on length on 26 qualities of Vaishnava and how we see those qualities in our dear Guru Maharaj, and I've spoken about various other pastimes of Guru Maharaj. But today what I want to do, I plan to do is, I don't know how exciting it will be for all of you, but I have this wonderful book which has been recently released. I think it's called Milwaukee to Mayapur. This is by Stephen J. Rosen, Satyaraj Prabhu. And this is the biography of Guru Maharaj. So what I'm planning to do today in whatever this one and a half hour time is, I'm going to take you from cover to cover, this whole book, in brief. Whatever is there, you know, whatever he has written. Of course, brief biography of Guru Maharaj is there, but it covers his birth and how he joined ISKCON and his initiation, his sannyas, his important letters with Prabhupada, his stroke, his transplant, his dealing with his godbrothers. So it's like a little rough picture of Guru Maharaj's whole life. So that's what we will do today. And I don't know, mostly we hear so many pastimes of Guru Maharaj. That is after he became Guru and Sannyasi and after Prabhupada left this world. But I think very less is known to the devotees of his life before before becoming an initiating Guru. So this is quite a very interesting book. So I will just go through this whole book in a proper chronological order the way they have presented it. So our dear Guru Maharaj, our beloved Guru Maharaj, he appeared in this world on 9th of April 1949 in this place called Milwaukee, it's in Wisconsin in America, in the United States of America. He was born to John Herbert and Lorraine Erdman, and his great grandfather, he had migrated from Germany. He was not able to speak English, and he came here and settled in Baltimore. And then right from doing odd jobs to doing some carpentry work to selling some paints, and slowly along with his friend who was also from Germany, how he established a big business which was called Badger Paint and Hardware. And it was so successful, they had almost like 66 branches all over, and they were doing very good. So Guru Maharaj's father was, the siblings, around 13 siblings they were. And Guru Maharaj's father also, he was very saintly minded, I would say, because he had also taken training of becoming a priest. But later he could not continue. Then he became a healer. Now healer is somebody who helps the people recover. So he was a healer in the military. Because he had a heart of a priest, he could not kill anybody. So they decided to put him in the healing department of military. So that is what he was doing. Whereas his grandfather had this huge business running, and they had such a huge, beautiful house that Guru Maharaj says in his biography that during the Easter and Christmas time, people used to buy tickets to come and see the second floor of their house because it was huge and beautiful, and it was near the lake, and there were pools, and there were billiard tables and tennis courts and gardens and everything, golf, place for playing golf, and it was a very beautiful mansion. And then Guru Maharaj had two brothers. So Guru Maharaj's name was Gordon John. They used to call him Jay for short. But Guru Maharaj's brother was Jeff and Jan. So he had two brothers. And then his father and mother, they got separated. So when his father got remarried, then he had a cousin. He had a sister called Leslie. So they were three brothers and one sister. And Guru Maharaj's parents got separated when Guru Maharaj was 9 years old. So he had to face certain things early in his life, and then he started staying with his maternal grandfather. And his maternal grandfather was very spiritual minded. Guru Maharaj says in this book that once it so happened that Guru Maharaj got some skin infection. And there were so many. So they took him to a doctor. But the doctor was not able to cure it. They could not understand what is the reason for this infection. So his maternal grandfather, he was so spiritual minded, he told him, "Oh, I can cure it." So the grandfather, "How will you cure it?" He said, "Nothing. You just put your hand on every wart and you speak to the wart, 'Go away in the name of God. Come on, go away in the name of God.'" And Guru Maharaj said, "I did it, you know, putting my hand on every, my fingers on every wart and saying, 'Go away in the name of God.'" And he said, miraculously, all the warts were gone. So like that, from the very beginning, his maternal grandfather was training him to keep faith on the power of the holy name of the Lord. So this was one realization Guru Maharaj had very early in his life, that, oh my God, the name of the Lord has so much power. So that made an impact in his heart. And one more incident early in his life was that his father was a wonderful gentleman, but physically he had some kind of a birthmark which went up to his neck and face, which was very distracting and very disturbing. So people were not very comfortable with him. Though when they used to mix with him and talk to him, they used to start liking him. But at the outset, because of that huge birthmark, and later in life when he was becoming old, it started bleeding also. So it was not a very good sight. So Guru Maharaj says that early in his life, because of this thing, you know, he was able to make that difference of body and soul. Oh yeah, you know, person is different and body is different, because he understands, though his father may be having this particular mark on his body, but as a person he's such a wonderful person. So he was able to understand this difference. Yeah, there is a different person and there is this different physical body as such. So like that, some small incidents made a good impact early in his life. So he was a very good student, very smart student, but because of certain family he was not able to cope so well. In between he got a little disturbed. Then he joined the St. John's Military Academy, and his sister, Mother Leslie, she mentions in this book that how when Guru Maharaj was very young, they used to go regularly to, you know, on to the church in Sundays. And one Sunday Guru Maharaj was missing, and everybody was searching him, and there was a big, you know, commotion. Where was that little boy? What happened to him? And everybody was searching, and what they find to their surprise, that Guru Maharaj went near to the altar and he was praying to Jesus Christ. So Guru Maharaj had his two hands outstretched and he was talking loudly and praying. And everybody was wondering that such a young boy, and having so much devotion to the Lord, he escaped from everybody and is personally going and offering some prayers to the Lord. So like that, early in his life, he was showing certain symptoms of, you know, having so much faith on the Lord, on the name of the Lord. And then during his teenage times, once he was playing in the garden, so those days children had the slingshots, you know, they just play in the garden. So Guru Maharaj was playing with that and he hit a squirrel. So when he hit the squirrel fall down from the branch. And he did it as a teenager boy, but when it actually happened, then he went running and all his friends went running, and he started crying. He could not understand why he is feeling to cry. And he was crying and he was saying that we don't create life, then how can we take somebody's life? So early in the life, all this realization of this body, soul, praying, power of holy name, not hurting other jiva. So he did not like it, though he just played the game with others, but he was not comfortable. When the squirrel got hurt, he felt very bad. He was a good sportsman. Guru Maharaj says he used to like football, he used to like golf, and he was very good in rifle. I mean, he at the age of around 11 or 12, he was among the 11 best people in the National Rifle Association, and he was doing good job. He was an active sports person. And then also in his young age, he was like an assistant to the priest on Sundays. He used to carry those wafers or anything needs to be carried to the altar. He used to help the priest. But one day when Guru Maharaj went to help the priest, he saw the priest is drunk. And that disappointed Guru Maharaj. And he took a step back, that this is not the right thing to do. You know, how come being a priest, he is drunk, you know, on a Sunday? And then after studying for some time in the military academy, he then shifted to Brown University. So that was also a very reputed university. He took admission in chemical engineering. He was interested in science. He was really enjoying his education. So in between, what happened is that there was a guest lecturer at his college. Her name was Timothy Leary. And she gave a lecture on teachings of Buddha. So she went at length explaining about Buddhism and explaining how Buddha, when he was, you know, Siddhartha, Prince Siddhartha, he left his house and how he saw a lady delivering a baby, and he saw an old man, and he saw a diseased man, and he saw a dying man, and how he changed the course of his life, and the whole thing about Buddhism. Now that made an impact on Guru Maharaj, and for days together he was just thinking, what is this birth, death, old age, disease? What happens? What is this going on? I want to know more. And he was so deeply thinking about it that he did not concentrate well on his studies, and he failed in two subjects. And because he failed in two subjects, the university says that you need to go and take admission in some other university. We're not keeping you. So then Guru Maharaj again came back to Wisconsin. He came back to Milwaukee. Now, after coming back, that was a summer vacation. So he thought he will continue his education. Meanwhile, it was summer vacation. So he thought that he wants to go hitchhiking to San Francisco, because at that period, you know, those 1950s and all, this hippie movement had gained a lot of momentum, and all these youngsters were going this way, that way. So Guru Maharaj, he was inspired. He said, he thought I'll go to San Francisco. So he made this hitchhiking trip to San Francisco. Now, when he reached San Francisco, his search for a guru or for some higher understanding did not stop there. He went to some bookstore and he got some books. He was searching for some yoga ashram. So he did get into one yoga ashram who were teaching Hatha Yoga, and he did take some classes. But what happened, this Hatha Yogi, he was a pilot. He had a pilot license. But at the same time, he was teaching Hatha Yoga. He had a beautiful ashram with a swimming pool. And after teaching yoga, he was actually swimming with the girls in the bikini. And when Guru Maharaj saw that, he thought, no, I don't think I want to continue with him. So then he went to bookstore, you know, back to the bookstore, tried to get some more books. And he got a book on Buddhism. And then he got some book on Judaism. And then he got some book on astral projection. That was very interesting for him. Doing pranayam, yoga, controlling the life air, coming out of the body and experiencing. So he thought this is very interesting. So he got deep into it, and then the author of that book who had written about astral projection, he actually went and met him. So he searched for his house. He went to the author's house. He knocked the door. Nobody was, opening the door. So he just went to the backyard, looking back door. And then in the back door, he saw this man was there and he was cooking some fish. So then Guru Maharaj said, well, I'm very much impressed by your book and I want to talk to you. So then this man said, okay, come inside. And then this man said, look, I've written this book, but I cannot myself do astral projection anymore because I've been grounded for 2 years. So don't expect I can show you any miracle or I can show you how to do it. Then Guru Maharaj thought that this person has written, but he himself can't show the out-of-body experience, so what should I do? He again went back to the bookstore and was reading some more books, and like that he was trying so much, where do I find Guru? So while he was doing all this, he thought in his mind, I think the only thing I can do is maybe I should go to India because I'm not finding anything here. Meanwhile, what happened? He saw certain devotees in San Francisco chanting. And while chanting, they were just distributing some leaflets. And they gave one leaflet on Guru Maharaj's hand. And that leaflet read, stay high forever. Explaining the name of Krishna, all attractive, Rama, the reservoir of pleasure, Hare, the pleasure potency of the Lord, come and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So he was very inquisitive. So what is this? So he saw the address below and he did search for the address, but somehow he could not get the address. So he thought, all right, forget about it. He kept the poster back and he continued his search in the bookstore. And then after a few days, what happens that he goes to this place called Golden Gate Park. And there again he met those devotees and they were chanting and doing kirtan. So this time what Guru Maharaj did is he went and gave them a closer look. On closer look, when he observed their tilak and all, it made him frightened. So he suddenly ran from that place to far off. He thought, what is this happening to me? Why are my hair standing on the end? What is this feeling that is happening inside me? So he just ran. And after some time, when he became a little bit cool, he thought, no, I should not run away from them. Let me find out what is their activities and what are they trying to do. So he went back to that place. By that time, the devotees had already left. So he asked the other onlookers, oh, where did they go? They said, we don't know where is their center, but they keep coming here every week, you know. So you can just come back if you want to see them again. So meanwhile, Guru Maharaj said, okay, now I lost this opportunity. And he was still thinking what to do. After a few days, by Krishna's arrangement, he saw another poster that was advertising about Rath Yatra. It said about festival of chariots or something like that. And this time they had the address there. So Guru Maharaj went, he searched for the address and he went to the center. Now when he went to the center, there was also an advertisement in the poster saying 25 cents for a vegetarian meal. And Guru Maharaj was a vegetarian, so he thought, this is good, I can have some nice vegetarian food. So he took his 25 cents in hand and now he's here in this ISKCON center. And this is Rath Yatra, preparations are going on, everybody is very busy, and he's going and asking every devotee, so this is my 25 cent I want to give you and I need prasadam. And they go to him, they're just moving, you know, asking him to go to some other devotee, we are busy, go to this devotee, we are busy. He was not able to understand, whom should I give my 25 cents? And finally somebody said, go and give it to Garga Muni, for sure he'll take it. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this joke in those old days about Garga Muni Prabhu. They used to call him Garga Money because he was a good fundraiser and he would never lose an opportunity if it is something to do with money for Krishna. So they used to call him Garga Money. So they said, you go to him and he'll definitely take your money. So he searched, who is Garga Muni? And then he gave 25 cents and Garga Muni immediately took it. Prabhu took it and then he also gave Guru Maharaj the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was printed in India, which Srila Prabhupada had bought. He said, here is your book, you take this home and you can come and have prasadam. So Guru Maharaj was passing through the different room and then he went to this place where everybody was taking prasadam. So what he saw is that there were these big vessels with prasadam and everybody was sitting in a round circle and having prasadam. So Guru Maharaj thought maybe somebody will serve prasadam, but nobody was serving prasadam. It was like a self-service. So Guru Maharaj thought, oh, this is like survival of the fittest. You just take whatever you want. So Guru Maharaj took his plate and he served prasadam. Meanwhile, what happened? As he was passing through the different, you know, this preaching center, he saw a very beautiful picture, Brijwasi print of Krishna, blue Krishna sitting underneath a tree, and just next to his feet there is a stream of water flowing, cows. It was very beautiful and this was something that he saw for the first time and it attracted him so deeply. So even while he was taking prasad, he was just thinking that how can something be so beautiful? What is this? It just attracts my heart so much, so beautiful looking picture. So he had his prasadam. And then after having prasadam, he came out of the center. And what he sees in the center, there is this Jayananda Prabhu. He meets Jayananda Prabhu for the first time and he's trying to make this chariot. So Jayananda Prabhu, when he saw Guru Maharaj, he said, do you want to help? Guru Maharaj said, sure. He said, can you hold this? Guru Maharaj said, okay. So Guru Maharaj was holding the nail and Jayananda Prabhu was beating it with the hammer. And when the nail was almost done and the hammer was coming close to the edge, then he would ask Guru Maharaj to remove his hand and then make the final push. So when Guru Maharaj saw that, he said, now can you do it? Guru Maharaj said, I can try. And then Guru Maharaj did it. He said, oh, you're doing very good, now you continue. So he asked Guru Maharaj to continue. So this Guru Maharaj mentions that this was the most beautiful time that he had with Jayananda Prabhu, because he was so curious and he had so many questions, and then Jayananda Prabhu was so loving, so kind, so sweet and humble, and he was answering every question. And all the while that they were making that ratha cart, he was talking about his guru, that is Prabhupada, and Guru Maharaj was very happy listening to all that. So in between the conversation, Jayananda Prabhu showed him a picture. He said, this is what we are trying to make, the Ratha picture. And it was looking very beautiful and huge. So Guru Maharaj immediately said, oh yeah, so maybe within a year or two, maybe another 2 years, we will complete this Ratha. And Jayananda Babu said, not 2 years, 2 weeks. And Guru Maharaj said, impossible, this cannot happen. And Jayananda Babu said, yes, it will happen. It's emergency, we have to do it. So then, following days, Guru Maharaj had a wonderful time. He was helping Jayananda Prabhu and he was, helping to complete that cart. So that was a wonderful thing happening. And then during this time, something very special happened. When he was helping Jayananda Prabhu to make this cart, Prabhupada's secretary, he came out and he handed over beads to Guru Maharaj and said, you want to chant? You can chant with the beads. So Guru Maharaj, he just took a little break. He sat in a garden and he started chanting. Now, he could not understand what is happening, but that chanting was giving him immense pleasure. He was enjoying the chanting so much. All his hairs were standing on the end. He was feeling to cry. Tears are coming. He is not able to stop the chanting. 1 round, 4 round, 8 round, 16 round, 32 rounds. And then finally he stopped and then he came back. When he came back, Prabhupada's secretary was searching for him. Where is Bhakta Jay? Yes, here I am. What happened? He said, actually by mistake I gave you Prabhupada's mala. Can you give it back to me? You have it still? He said, yeah, I have it. And then he said, oh, this is Prabhupada's mala. I just gave it to you by mistake. I'll give you some other mala. So, unknowingly, Guru Maharaj had chanted on Prabhupada's mala, and that was maybe Prabhupada's way of showering his blessings on Guru Maharaj, and he got this first touch of a Vaishnava's beads, and his taste for chanting and everything, he completely became ecstatic, and he decided, I think I want to give it a try seriously. I want to continue chanting and I want to continue. I like this place and I like these people. I like everything about this place. And he decided, no, I'm going to continue seriously. So after that 32 rounds with Prabhupada's bead, a lot of changes happened. So then finally the Rath Yatra happened and he saw hundreds of devotees and all are just, jumping and up and down, and Guru Maharaj had done Hatha Yoga. So he was thinking, why are these people jumping up and down? Maybe they are trying to bring their life air up by the chakras. Are they trying to do something like that? Oh, maybe if we jump up and down, then our chakras will get activated. Maybe we can bring the life air up. He was just trying to calculate all that way. And he was getting pretty confused. What is the reason behind these people's jumping like this? And then he got hold of this book of Prabhupada called Easy Journey to Other Planets. And that clarified a lot of his questions. So he found it very interesting. And he read the book cover to cover. So then he decided that I want to shave up. So Jayananda Prabhu shaved up and now Guru Maharaj was, completely in the temple, whereas his parents are waiting for him to come back to Milwaukee. His grandfather is thinking that maybe he will continue to take over the paint business. His father is having some other plans, but Guru Maharaj already thought, I know where I want to go and this is my destination. I like these people and I want to be here. So you're already shaved up. Now, Guru Maharaj had been hearing about Prabhupada, but he hadn't seen Prabhupada. Yet, Prabhupada never came for San Francisco Rath Yatra because there was a visa issue. So Prabhupada was in Montreal. So Guru Maharaj went to the temple president and said, I want to see Srila Prabhupada. Can I go to Montreal? So temple president said, no, you can't. There are some services here and it's not necessary. Prabhupada will come here. You wait. So Guru Maharaj just came back from his temple president's room. But in his heart of heart, he was not able to accept it. He wanted to desperately see Srila Prabhupada. So he spoke with the other senior Vaishnavas and then they were all saying, well, actually, if you meet Prabhupada once, it will be very inspiring and that will help your Krishna conscious journey. So then he decided that I'm not going to listen to the temple president. I'm going to meet Srila Prabhupada. So he just left. So before going to Montreal, from San Francisco, he went to New York. And there he saw Prabhupada's first center, that is 26 Second Avenue. There also he met devotees. So during that time, there was only these two, three centers. Maybe San Francisco, New York, and the Montreal rented place. So he went to New York and then from there he went to Montreal. So he reached Montreal, and Montreal is definitely a very, very special place because it was at this place that Bhakti Vinod Thakur in 1896 had sent by courier, by postage, the book of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Life and Percepts. So, I mean, that time Bhakti Vinod Thakur had this desire that this knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must reach to everybody in the Western country. So, he had sent this book to M.C. Gill University. And that book, I think still if you go to that library, it was in a small brown postage packet written Calcutta, India, and he had sent it in 1896, the same year that Srila Prabhupada appeared in Calcutta. So the book went to Montreal, and the person who is going to 70 years later, you know, actually open the book and teach the Westerners had also appeared in India simultaneously at the same date. And of course, 70 years later, Prabhupada goes to that same city, Montreal, and he's doing his preaching and teaching about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Guru Maharaj reached Montreal. Now he wanted to see Srila Prabhupada. He was very eagerly waiting, and Prabhupada enters the room. Guru Maharaj is among the crowd. He's waiting to see Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada enters the room. And as soon as Prabhupada enters the room, now because Guru Maharaj had done this Hatha Yoga and all, he was able to see auras. So he saw Prabhupada's aura. It was very powerful. He saw a yellow color light and he saw a white color light. And he had never ever seen such an amazing thing in his life. The whole room was filled up with Prabhupada's aura. And he was completely awestruck. And then he paid his obeisances, whatever. And then Garga Muni introduced Guru Maharaj to Prabhupada. Said, Prabhupada, this is Bhakta J, and he's been serving in our San Francisco Center. Prabhupada looked at Guru Maharaj and he told Garga Muni, bring him for lunch tomorrow. So next day, Guru Maharaj had a lunch appointment with Prabhupada. So next day for lunch, Garga Muni Prabhu was sitting on one side, Brahmananda Prabhu was sitting in one side, Guru Maharaj was sitting in the center, and they were waiting for Prabhupada to come for lunch. And Guru Maharaj said that because in those days Guru Maharaj was very skinny, and Brahmananda Prabhu and Garga Muni Prabhu, they were, you know, very healthy. So it was a scene to see, you know, in between them he's like crushed and he's waiting. And finally Prabhupada arrives, and then they all have prasadam together. And Guru Maharaj remembers what he had for prasadam. He said there was kadhi and there was curd and cauliflower pakoda and curry sauce in the whole menu. He says this was his first menu, first lunch with Srila Prabhupada. So while Guru Maharaj is taking this rice and curd and all, Prabhupada is asking him some questions. So then Prabhupada was explaining him very nicely, okay, do this, do that and all. Then Guru Maharaj said, I'm thinking to go to India. Then Prabhupada said, not necessary. You stay here and you continue. When the right time comes, I'll tell you when to go to India. Then Guru Maharaj asked him question that, Prabhupada, I'm able to see different kind of lights. You know, some when people enter, go, I can see everybody's aura. Then Prabhupada simply smiled and said, chant Hare Krishna and you will no more see these lights. And Guru Maharaj said that one lunch date with Prabhupada changed his life forever. He was so inspired, and in his heart of hearts, he decided, he is my guru. That's it. I want to surrender my life to him. I want to serve him. He was so fully satisfied. After reading so many different books and meeting so many different people, finally he thought, I have met my guru. He was very happy. So then in Montreal, the center was on the third floor. They had rented a bowling alley. So it was a rented place, and devotees were very enthusiastically doing service. So Guru Maharaj decided to stay there for some time in Montreal. And it was just maybe he met Prabhupada, and within 2 weeks, Prabhupada said he'll give Guru Maharaj initiation. Now you can imagine how things are going in such speed. He just saw the devotees at the Golden Gate Park, and he just started serving, helping Jayananda Prabhu, and few days there in San Francisco. And now that he saw the New York Temple, and then he came to Montreal and he met Prabhupada, and he's already getting initiation. So on July 24th, 1968, Bhakta J became Jay Pataka Swami, or rather Jay Pataka Brahmachari, because at that time he was not sannyasi. So he became Jay Pataka Brahmachari, and Prabhupada said, you are the victory flag of Krishna. So this was Guru Maharaj's name. So he was happy, and that lecture, Guru Maharaj remembers that initiation lecture. Prabhupada spoke very deeply about 10 offenses, how they should avoid 10 offenses, and so many interesting things. And in fact, Prabhupada personally taught, showed to Guru Maharaj, this is the way you should chant, do it properly. And you know, he spoke very intimately and nicely. So he was happy. So now the initiation is over. Now, as soon as initiation was over, Guru Maharaj got the visa for USA. So he left. Now, Prabhupada left. So as soon as initiation was over, Prabhupada got the visa for US. So Prabhupada left. And Hamsadutta Prabhu was the temple president of Montreal. After 2 weeks, he also left because he wanted to open a new center in Vancouver. So it has just been 2 weeks, 15 days that Guru Maharaj took initiation, and they told him, now you are the temple president for Montreal temple. Kindly take care of the temple. Now he's just 15 days, he took his first initiation and he's temple president. And then he has another 4 devotees with him to take care. Now how is he supposed to pay the rent? What is he supposed to do? Because those days they didn't have any steady income. So they had to work outside to maintain the temple. So then Guru Maharaj took up a job. So initially for 6 months he was working as a welder, welding frames, and some kind of bed frames. And then it was a team of people who had to work. So he makes certain things and then he has to pass it to the other team member, and they put some coil, and like that they had to together do it. So Guru Maharaj says that there were also some girls in the team, and they were very, very flirtatious. They were flirting, and Guru Maharaj, because he was a brahmachari, he was not talking to them. So these girls felt that this Guru Maharaj is antisocial, doesn't talk, doesn't communicate with them. So they were finding, why this person is like that? And because Guru Maharaj was not able to explain to him that I am following this Vedic culture and I'm a brahmachari and I can't interact with all of you. Then after some time he started working in a cafe, which was A&W Beers, A&W Root Beer. That was the name of the company which had sponsored that cafe, and Guru Maharaj was working there. He was cleaning floors and all that was his job. Now the problem was that they were also serving meat there. So somebody went and complained to Prabhupada that Jayapataka Brahmachari is serving in a place where they serve meat. So Prabhupada asked Guru Maharaj, what are you doing there? Do you serve meat? Then Guru Maharaj said, not serving, I clean up. After they eat, I clean up the dishes and I clean up the floor. So then Prabhupada said that in the Manusmriti, it says that those who give money for buying meat, those who purchase meat, those who cut and cook, and those who sell, and those who eat, all those people, or those who serve meat, all those people will be part of the sin of eating meat. But those who clean after the meat is eaten, they don't have any sin, so it's all right. So that gave a relief to Guru Maharaj, because he had no choice. He had to pay the bills of the Montreal ISKCON Center and he had to work. So that's what he was doing. Then for some time he worked in a record shop with Chit Sukhananda Prabhu. So their job was to, put those records in the envelope, seal them and send it. So during that time Guru Maharaj said that sometimes he used to go to those fire exits. Every company has some fire exit place. He used to go there and chant his rounds. And then when they used to come and ask for him, hey, where is these two people? And then they used to come out and say, no, we were just using the restroom. Oh, okay, I didn't see you. Come, continue your work. And then for some time, he was also working in some other place. So like that, he was somehow managing chanting of his rounds. As far as reading, those days not many books were there, and there was no book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada had given a permission to read a particular book, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, volume 1 by Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Professor Sanyal. Otherwise Prabhupada was not allowing to read any of his godbrother's book, but this particular book he said okay. So Guru Maharaj was reading this book very nicely. So in that book, Guru Maharaj is a good reader and very good listener, very sharp listener and reader. So he picked up a point. In that book it was mentioned that Haridas Thakur was chanting loudly, when we chant loudly, if we are feeling mentally distracted, then that can help us if we do our chanting loudly. So Guru Maharaj caught that point and he started chanting very loudly, his 16 rounds. So loudly, so as to that as if the lungs will blast out of his body, that much loudly he was chanting. And all the devotees around him got very irritated. They went and complained to Prabhupada that this Jayapataka Brahmachari is chanting so loudly. So Prabhupada immediately called him in the office and he says, "Yes, what is your explanation? Why are you doing this? Everybody is getting disturbed." Then he said, "Prabhupada, actually that book I read by Professor Sanyal, it says that if you chant loudly, then you don't get mentally, you know, if you're getting mental desires or anything kind of a distraction, it can be controlled. So that's what I was trying to do." Then Prabhupada said, "Okay, very good, very well, but don't do it in the temple hall. You go in some garden and do it, you know, go a little far off." So then there was this garden, which was a little bit far from the center. It was actually on a small kind of a hill. So there Guru Maharaj went and he was doing his, that place is still there, Mount Royal. And Guru Maharaj went and he did this chanting there. But he didn't stop chanting loudly, very, passionately he was chanting, very loudly he was chanting his rounds. Then Guru Maharaj wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that, "I want to learn Bengali." So at that moment, in that letter, Prabhupada said, "No, they're not required. What will you do by becoming a scholar? You want to become a Bengali scholar? It's not required. You're preaching in this area, so here nobody understands Bengali. So what you will do?" That's what Prabhupada said at that time. So then Guru Maharaj thought, he just gave up that thought. But whatever, he was a very fast learner and very inquisitive and always wants to do something new and adventurous. Meanwhile, Guru Maharaj also got a second initiation. And second initiation happened in New York. So now just the first initiation completed, and then within few months the second initiation was completed. And then Guru Maharaj went to Toronto and he opened a new center there. So there, during Prabhupada time, it was like this: president, treasurer and secretary. Now at that time what happened is that in those areas people were speaking French, and Guru Maharaj was not able to speak French fluently. So he thought that maybe my treasurer, Sripati Prabhu, he should become temple president because he speaks very nicely French. So maybe he should be temple president, I should move to some other place. Meanwhile, this thinking was going on, and then another devotee came to that place, Jagadisha Prabhu and Lakshmi Moni Mataji, and they were also doing very well. So Guru Maharaj decided to hand over the Toronto temple presidentship to them, and he wrote to Prabhupada that, "What is my next service? What should I do?" So Prabhupada asked him to come to Los Angeles, and then Prabhupada told him that maybe you should go to India. Achyutananda Swami is already there, so you go to India and help him there. That's what. But if you're going to India, I want you should go on long-term basis. At least you should have 2 years visa, and you go at that time. So Guru Maharaj said, "Fine." He was happy. Finally, he got a chance to go to India. But again, Prabhupada sent a message that not now, because Achyutananda Prabhu or Swami, whatever he was at that time, he didn't have his own place. So he was living in Madhav Maharaj's Gaudiamat. So Prabhupada had written a letter to him saying that, "Don't stay there in Madhav Maharaj's Gaudiamat. I'm sending you money. Hire your own place. Stay separately. So when you are ready, you let me know. I'll send Jayapataka." That was the thing. So till now he didn't get any favorable reply from Achyutananda Prabhu. So Prabhupada was waiting. Meanwhile, Guru Maharaj said, "What next? What should I do?" So there was this Rupanuga Prabhu who was opening a center in Chicago, and he told Prabhupada that, "Can I take with Jayapataka with me? I need help." So he said, "Yeah, wonderful. You please take him," because he was opening some center and all. So he said, "Fine." So then Guru Maharaj and Rupanuga Prabhu, they were in a Volkswagen, and they were going towards Chicago. Meanwhile, what happened? Guru Maharaj did not have a driving license. But still, Rupanuga Prabhu asked him to drive. So Guru Maharaj was driving, he was sitting. Meanwhile, what happened? While driving only, Guru Maharaj felt drowsy and he just slept. And there was a little accident. So the car went off track and the tires got locked on the gravel. They were on this side. So Rupanuga Prabhu said something very nice at that moment when that small accident happened. Rupanagar Prabhu said that when the car was moving like this, he said, I was just remembering my wife and my child. So Rupanagar Prabhu said, look, this is the difference. When the car was going sideways, you were chanting Hare Krishna and I was remembering my wife and child. That's the difference between a brahmachari and grihastha. Because Guru Maharaj was, even while this accident was happening, he was chanting Hare Krishna, you know. He was remembering Krishna at that moment. That is a statement he made. I thought that was wonderful. So then finally, since this accident happened, Rupanagar Prabhu told him that, look, if they come to know that you are driving without driver's license, there will be an issue and I have to claim insurance money. So I'll tell them that I was driving. So meanwhile, they were taken to the hospital. Guru Maharaj had no injuries, but Rupanagar Prabhu did have some injuries. So, but Rupanagar Prabhu told Guru Maharaj that you just leave. Don't even come to meet me in the hospital, because again we'll have some legal problems. If they come to know you were driving, they may investigate some interrogation. You just leave. I'll manage everything here. So the nearest center was Colorado. So Guru Maharaj just went to that center because he is somewhere now. Where to go next? So he went to Colorado center. So in Colorado center, Guru Maharaj was treated like VIP, because in that center everybody was just few months old. And Guru Maharaj was 1 year old in ISKCON. So that was like a senior devotee. So they became so happy. A senior devotee has come who is 1 year in ISKCON. So they were all asking his guidance. So they told that in our Colorado temple, there are two Matajis, Akuti Mataji and one other Mataji. And they don't know how to wear sari. Since you are a senior devotee, can you help them? So Guru Maharaj said, yeah, I can try. So in that center, they had a Brijwasi print of, you know, Vrindavan, Radha, Krishna, Gopis and all. So Guru Maharaj took a sari and he was looking very carefully in that print, and he wore sari himself. And he showed those Matajis how to wear the sari by wearing it himself. So, and then Akuti Mataji, she learned, okay, fine, this is the way the pleats have to bend, this is where it has to be tucked. So that was a very special pastime that happened in Colorado. And then Guru Maharaj became co-president with Bhagavan Prabhu for Chicago temple. So then while he was serving there in Chicago, he got a telegram, go to India. Achyutananda's letter is favorable, go to India. So I think that telegram came from Gargamuni, that Prabhupada is asking you to go to India. So Guru Maharaj was very happy, finally he's going to India. So he went back to Toronto temple. And he went back and tried to get some Lakshmi from the congregation, because he had to travel. So he thought, there I have some contacts and I'll ask some Lakshmi and arrange my flight ticket. Because who is going to give him the flight ticket? So finally he arranged some Lakshmi and then he flew. And that flight was historical, because he had to take so many stops and so many places. But it was the cheapest flight, just $114. But it took so many hours, because he had to go Montreal to London, London to Brussels, Brussels to Bombay, Bombay to Calcutta. There was something called Iceland Airways, and there was something called Brothers Airways, and all these airways. And those days the flight was not like it'll directly go. Every stop, like a bus stop, you know, like we have this train stations or bus stop, it'll stop everywhere. So when he went from Brussels to Bombay, it was not just Brussels to Bombay. It was like Brussels to Rome, Rome to Cairo, Cairo to Yemen, Yemen to Karachi, Karachi to Bombay. So it was so tiring. It was like 1.5 day by the time he reached Bombay. And finally, when he reached Bombay, he just tried to make some phone calls. Nobody was lifting phone calls. So he doesn't know what to do. And more than any, he was completely sick. By that time, physically exhausted, completely sick. And more than that, he got a cultural shock in Bombay. As soon as he got down, there was one lady who was a leper. Like, you know, like in India, we have beggars with a small baby and coming to Guru Maharaj and saying, you know, kuch bakshish, 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 paisa, paisa, give some money, bakshish de do. And Guru Maharaj thought, what is this? Why is there's no security? Why is this lady coming to me? What is this happening? Got completely confused. And then from Bombay, he went to Calcutta. And he says when he went to Calcutta, he felt, okay, this is little more civilized than Bombay. At least people are not falling on me. You know, what is this happening? So finally, he reached Calcutta. So that means in the June of 1970, first time Guru Maharaj has put his lotus feet in Bharat Bhumi. He came here in 1970. Now he was happy, his dream fulfilled. For a long time he wanted to come to India. Now what happened? To his horror, Achyutananda Swami had not spoken truth he was still staying in Madhav Maharaj's Gaudimath. But whereas he had told Prabhupada that I have a place, you can send Jayapataka Brahmachari. So when he came there, he saw, no, he's still staying with the Gaudiamath devotees. So Guru Maharaj also had to stay with the Gaudiamath devotees, and he stayed there for 2 months. So while he was there, he found one thing very funny. In that Gaudiamath, when they were asking them to take prasad, they used to make people sit according to their initiation date. So when they ask you to sit, they will ask, kab liya initiation? Kya date? Aapka, like that, they will ask the date. And when they ask Guru Maharaj, yeah, what date you took initiation? So there was another brahmachari sitting there, they pushed that brahmachari, hey, you go, he'll sit here. So like, according to initiation date only, you should sit. There was a hierarchy system, and Guru Maharaj found that very funny. What is this happening? According to the date, you have to sit. And there, Guru Maharaj was happy one way, because in America, he had seen only one sannyasi, that is Srila Prabhupada. But here, he was seeing so many sannyasis, and he said, oh, this is the culture, or this is the way sannyasis have to be respected, this is what happens in India. So every day for him, it was a learning process. And when he was in Montreal temple from Pradyumna Prabhu, he had already learned Devanagari script. And now here in Calcutta, he started picking up Bengali, started speaking in Bengali. And now there was this one thing, he was given the service of doing shopping. So he had to go to the market every day for buying vegetables or everything, whatever is required for breakfast or lunch. So now when he goes to the market, he has to talk with the local people. So he just picked up Bengali, you know, speaking with those local vendors, speaking with local people, or sometime organizing some program, going for house programs, engaging in conversations. So like that, he picked up Bengali. And for 2 months, he was staying in Gaudiamath. And after that, they had their own separate place, and they started the ISKCON center in Calcutta. So it was on rent. And then after some time, they moved to 3C Albert Road, which was also on rent at that time, which now is our 3C Albert Road Radha Govinda Center. But those days, they had taken it on rent. And then after Guru Maharaj is all settled and all, Prabhupada comes to India. This is all happening very quickly. It's not years, just months and days. 68, 70, that's it. August 29th, 1970, Srila Prabhupada is there in India with his white elephants, and he has landed in India. And Guru Maharaj was so happy to see him. And then Prabhupada calls Guru Maharaj one day and says, would you like to take sannyas? And Guru Maharaj said, whatever you say, Prabhupada, as you like. And one very nice thing Guru Maharaj mentions, he says, first diksha, second diksha, you have to ask from Guru, I want this diksha. But the third diksha, you don't ask it. Guru gives it on his own. If he feels, you are capable. If he feels, then he will ask, you want to take sannyas? Like that. So Guru Maharaj was very happy that, yes, my Guru has considered me capable of getting sannyas diksha. So he was very happy too. And then September 10th, 1970, on the day of Radhashtami, Guru Maharaj got his sannyas diksha. So he became Jayapataka Swami. And what was his age at that time? 21-year-old young boy. So he became the 11th sannyasi in the history of ISKCON. Because when Prabhupada had come to India, August 1970, he had already given 9 people sannyas in America. And now he came to India, so the 10th person is Achyutananda Swami, gives him sannyas, and 11th is Guru Maharaj, he gets sannyas. So Guru Maharaj is very happy. Now what happened? In the 1971, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had, with lot of hard work, dealing with those Mohammedans, you know, Muslim people, had acquired 5-acre land in Mayapur. And Prabhupada was so happy. And they had made a grass hut there, and devotees were staying there. So now Guru Maharaj was sometimes in Calcutta, sometimes in Mayapur. So in Mayapur, Guru Maharaj was very happy, because there, since Guru Maharaj was a science student, he was making a big research. Cow dung has how much phosphorus, cow urine has what happens with this, how to use this in a better way, how can we get a better yield. So the farmers became Guru Maharaj's friends because he was teaching them sophisticated techniques of how to get better yield in their farm land, and they were teaching Guru Maharaj Bengali and Guru Maharaj was teaching them farming. So it was wonderful, and Guru Maharaj was also very happy doing that farming work. And every day he had to go 45 minutes in his bicycle buying things, and then slowly the construction started. After the grass hut, they started the lotus building, then they started the long building, and sometimes he has to go Calcutta, Mayapur, get some, you know, sometimes some, because it was, Mayapur was a village and there was nothing available. And then locally also buying some nails, buying cement, buying this, he had to go in his bicycle. And the budget that they were given weekly was 35 rupees. And that was not enough for having grand prasadam. So Guru Maharaj approached Tamil Krishna Maharaj and said, I want to grow something. Can I grow something? And Tamil Krishna Maharaj was not that. He said, I don't know what you can grow here. He said, no, at least I can try. He said, okay, you try growing something. So he started growing tomatoes. And it was wonderful, successful. And then he started growing radish. And he was growing radish in tons. And the devotees got so bored of radish, they said, Jai Pataka Swami, please stop radish, don't grow, because we're not able to eat radish anymore. So like that he was, and then lotus building construction happened, and a lot of things was going on. And Guru Maharaj says very beautifully that when I was a student, I always thought that I want to do something challenging in life. But the true challenge I was enjoying in this ISKCON movement, because every day was a challenge. You have to cook, you have to do farming, you have to do puja, you have to preach, you have to drive, you have to do shopping, you have to do construction. Every day you have to do something new, which you have never done in your life before. For example, Tamil Krishna Maharaj, when Prabhupada was asking them to construct, he was discussing with Bhavananda Prabhu that how are we supposed to do that? Prabhupada is asking us to do, but we have no knowledge of construction. When they said that to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, what knowledge is required for construction? Brick upon brick and brick upon brick. Like that you make a building, that's all over. So they said, oh really? Brick upon brick and brick upon brick and the building comes over. Oh, yeah, it is so simple. We'll do it, Prabhupada. And they did it actually. So Guru Maharaj says that every day was a challenge. You do know how to do this, but you have to do it. And that's what Prabhupada says, and you'll have to do it. So every day, how to do it, and learning from different people. And every day was a learning experience. And you know, they were spiritually growing, and they were intellectually growing, and they were physically growing. They were all just 19, 20-year-old boys, and so many things happening in their life. Every day was such a challenge for them. Then Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur, and he was telling them, when he was sitting in the grass hut, oh, this is so nice, this is so sattvic, on the bank of Ganga, in this grass hut, chant our rounds, but no, we have to preach. And if you want to preach, people will not come if we are in this facility. We have to make a big city where 50,000 people will be living. And Guru Maharaj was thinking to himself, 50,000 people, really? We are just 5 people in this grass hut in the middle of nowhere in this village, and Prabhupada is saying that there will be 50,000 people here, really? They are not able to believe, what is Prabhupada talking about? There is no facility here and we are just 5 people here. So anyway, the lotus building construction started. Sometimes the laborers used to give them so much trouble. Suddenly they will make like a union and they'll say, we don't want to work. Sometimes all these sannyasis, they just threw their dandas and they went and started mixing the cement. Okay, you don't want to work, don't work, we will work, we'll start plastering the walls. And when these people saw that these sannyasis, oh my god, they're not only like a with danda and sit and giving blessings, they can actually work when they want to, they put the dandas aside and started working. Then those laborers came back, no, Swamiji, you don't touch, we'll do it, and they came back. So every day they used to face new challenges, getting works done from different people. And sometimes they used to disturb them by playing some big music nearby areas. They used to play some mundane music. And Guru Maharaj was so sharp, and they were banging like that. Guru Maharaj also went on the top of the long building, and he also tied a big chonga. You know, I don't know what do you say in English, chonga. It's like a big amplifier, the huge one. And he also tied a big one and playing our Hare Krishna music more loudly than their mundane music. So they also got a headache that, oh my God, they're playing it so loud. So they also lowered their volume. So like that, you know, always challenging. And then once a cobra came up, because there's so many things lying. It's a vast, vast green garden, green wild area. All the weeds and so many things are happening. So once in the pile, inside from the pile of the bricks, a big cobra came out. And Prabhupada was right there at that time. And then Guru Maharaj immediately ran to his room and he got his gun. He had a gun and he shot the cobra. And he was too good at it. That's what his godbrothers used to say. Because he was also in the National Rifle Association. Just the right shot and the cobra. So like that, he was always in a very protective mood. Like his godbrothers say that Guru Maharaj was like a big brother. Always protecting his other god brothers. Any issue, they know they can go and stand behind Jayaprataka Swami and he will go and, you know, he'll fight it out. So like that, then Prabhupada asked him to come with him for Kumbh Mela. So Guru Maharaj with all other devotees, they went to Allahabad and they asked Prabhupada, why are we going to this Kumbh Mela? So Prabhupada said, because we want to take association of sadhus. And Guru Maharaj said, in my heart I was thinking to take association, actually to give association, because with Prabhupada's association everybody will become purified. So like that, Prabhupada gave them a lot of association. He personally took them, showed them places in Allahabad, like the Bindu Madhav temple, the Dasha Ashwamedha Ghata, and so many different places. And I gave so many wonderful classes there. And Guru Maharaj was very happy and enjoying Prabhupada's association. Once they were taking bath in the Ganga, and suddenly they said, come on, move it. And Guru Maharaj thought, what happened? Why is everybody asking us to move? Then they said, no, the Naga Babas will come. So then, you know, Guru Maharaj was wondering, you know, and then somebody told them, if you don't move aside, these Naga Babas, they don't care. They may just hit you, they may just push you. You should be very far from them. And once when they were walking, they saw that one big Mathadish was sitting on an elephant in a big procession, and all his disciples were walking around him. And when Prabhupada saw that, he said, this is not Vaishnava culture. We should have deities on the elephant and we should walk down, not that we sit on the top of the elephant. And Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj was hearing this all very carefully, all the small minute instructions and whatever Prabhupada was telling them. And then one lecture Prabhupada said in Kumbh Mela, that if you have become a Hare Krishna devotee, that means you have done so many yajnas, so much sukruti you have accumulated, so much good karma you have done, that's why you have become a devotee today. Then immediately one devotee raised hand and says, I don't believe it, Prabhupada, because I know how much sins I have committed. I was a sinful person till, you know, I became a devotee. I have done so much. How can you say that I have done good karma, that's why I became devotee? Then Prabhupada said, I have given you the good fortune. I have made your good fortune. So Guru Maharaj liked that line so much when he heard it from Prabhupada. And he was thinking in his heart, yeah, it's true. Prabhupada is making good fortune for everybody around the world. You know, so many sins, sinful activities people have committed. But Prabhupada is just taking that all away and giving Krishna Bhakti to everybody. So then Guru Maharaj had to come back from the Kumbh Mela trip beforehand. The others stayed back with Prabhupada, but he had to come back because he was temple president for Calcutta temple and the lease was expiring. He had to renew the lease for the 3C Albert Road and so much work was there, so he came back. The funny part was that Guru Maharaj was removed as Calcutta temple president 11 times. Every time Tamil Krishna Maharaj, who was his GBC, removed Guru Maharaj from temple presidentship. And every time Prabhupada again reinstated Guru Maharaj as temple president. But on the 11th time, Prabhupada removed Guru Maharaj from temple presidentship. And now why that happened, I'll tell you. Very interesting episode. Guru Maharaj was a temple president and he wanted to follow Prabhupada's instruction as it is. So Prabhupada had said, devotee means he should be frugal. He should not spend Krishna's money unnecessarily. We should be very careful in spending every rupee. So Guru Maharaj was following that. Now Guru Maharaj was temple president. So Pancha Dravida Prabhu, he came to Guru Maharaj and said, I want to go for preaching. Please give me some money. So Guru Maharaj said, don't use car. I'm giving you 5 paisa. You go by tram. He said, no, I'll not go by tram. You give me 1 rupee. I'll go by taxi. Guru Maharaj said, no, you have to use tram. Take 5 paisa. Then Pancha Dravida Prabhu said, okay, fine. Forget it. I'll go by tram. But you give me 1 rupee because my stomach is not good. I want some yogurt. So Guru Maharaj gave him 1 rupee. So as soon as he got 1 rupee in hand, he showed it to Guru Maharaj and said, I will go by taxi, okay? And he left. Then Guruma said, he jumped. Guruma jumped on him and tried to take that 1 rupee back from his hand. And he was not giving it. And Guruma was trying to take it back, that I'll not give it to you. You cannot go by taxi. You have to go by tram. So this snatching was happening, and Pancha Dravida Prabhu, he just bit Guru Maharaj's hand very badly with his teeth. So now Guru Maharaj was trying to move his hand, but he had hold with his teeth so hardly, Guru Maharaj was not able to take out his hand. So Guru Maharaj hit him. Now Guru Maharaj hit him. This episode went to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada got a telegram that Jay Pataka Maharaj is beating devotees. So then Prabhupada said, remove him immediately from temple presidentship. And then afterwards, when Prabhupada came, Guru Maharaj showed him. In fact, Guru Maharaj said at least for 14 years that marks was still there of his biting. So he said, this is what happened, you know, Prabhupada, I have not... Prabhupada said, fine, whatever it is, now you concentrate on Mayapur, and he was removed from Calcutta. Then Prabhupada asked Guru Maharaj to come to Bombay. Prabhupada said, you should become citizen of India. By the time, Guru Maharaj has already learned Bengali nicely, and he was doing a good job. And so Prabhupada took him to N.D. Desai's father, that is our Srinathji Prabhu's father. He was those days very active in politics, and with his help, you know, of course, lot of things Guru Maharaj had to do. After his initial help to start the process, they had to meet a dozen MPs, ministers, and during that time, Guru Maharaj also met Atal Bihari Vajpayee. He was a foreign minister. So, Guru Maharaj spoke with him in Hindi. Sab theek hai? Aap theek hai? He said, are you fine? Are you okay? So that he liked very much, Atal Bihari Vajpayee. He said, are aap to Hindi bolte hai? Oh, you speak Hindi? Guru Maharaj said, yes. And he was very happy, because actually also it is a system. If you want to become an Indian citizen, at least you should know one language fluently. But whereas Guru Maharaj had already learned writing Bengali also, writing, reading. He was a slow writer, but he was able to write and read in Bengali. So finally, of course, when N.D. Desai's father first met Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, and Prabhupada made one very important statement, which is very important for all of us to know. He told N.D. Desai's father that Jaya Pataka Swami is an eternal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So N.D. Desai Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu, many times he talks about this. He says that I was a young boy, we were in office, me and my father, mother called that some Swamiji has come, please come. So when we went home, all of these people were sitting in the garden, and then this Swamiji tells my father that this Jayapataka Swami is an eternal associate of Lord. And I thought, what is this? They're just trying to make up some story or what? Just to get some help. I was not able to believe. You know, like that he tells his initial experiences. And then how N.D. Desai's father got very impressed by Prabhupada. He also took life membership. And those days, there were not many 100,000 life members. There were just few life members. And he became life member number 32. He gave money to Prabhupada. And then he also helped Guru Maharaj to become citizen of India. And then there was this very big flood that happened in 1971. And that was very helpful one way to ISKCON, because ISKCON started doing food for life. They started feeding those people who were suffering from flood. So Guru Maharaj was very active about it, getting the groceries, getting things. And they used to give puri, sabji, khichdi. And Guru Maharaj explains one very funny incident. He said, these villagers, they were not patient. If you ask them, sit down, we are giving you prasadam, they should just get up and come with their plate. Like, you know, just like a... falling on each other. So Guru Maharaj said, I used to tell him in Bengali, if you get up, then we are not serving you food anymore. We'll take all this food back. You should not move from your place. You sit in one place. We will come and serve you. So they used to sit quietly, and then they used to serve. But once it so happened, Padmalochan Prabhu from Britain, he came, he was visiting Mayapur. So he wanted to also distribute prasadam. So he bought this basket of puri. So he just bought this basket of puri and he kept it. Now he's just thinking that I'm going to distribute. So the moment he kept the basket of puri down, for 5 seconds there was complete silence. And after that it was a tsunami. Everybody jumped on that puri, and the Padmalochan Prabhu was somewhere down on the ground. Everybody jumped. Within 5 minutes all the puri is gone. And that time Guru Maharaj thought, no more puri for distribution. They're getting crazy about puris. Only khichdi will distribute. So like that, they did amazing distribution in different villages. And there, that's where, you know, slowly ISKCON's name got better. Okay, they're doing a wonderful job. There's one other beautiful incident which was very heart-touching for Guru Maharaj's. Prabhupada once got a letter from a husband and wife. saying that Prabhupada, they were from West. Prabhupada, we are struggling to become devotees, but Maya is very powerful. It is distracting us. Sometimes we are getting defeated by Maya, by Maya, but Srila Prabhupada, we are determined. We are not going to lose this fight with Maya. Please give us your blessings. And when Prabhupada read that, he was crying, tears in his eyes. And after that, anybody who came to visit Prabhupada, Prabhupada was showing it to everybody. Look how much they are struggling to become devotee. It is so difficult to become a devotee in the West. So much Maya is there, but see how much determined they are. So when Prabhupada showed this to an Indian gentleman, that Indian gentleman also was so moved. He said, I am a Hindu born in an Indian culture, but I am never, you know, putting so much effort to stop eating onion garlic or to stop taking tea and coffee. I'm just taking things so lightly. But these Westerners, for them, this is all so difficult, but still they're going out of their way and trying to become good Krishna conscious devotees and follow principles. So Prabhupada was so moved, and that Indian gentleman was also moved, that what wonderful effort Prabhupada is making in making all these people devotees. So Guru Maharaj says that this incident moved him a lot, that what a compassion Prabhupada has. He's crying, oh, these devotees are suffering, they're trying their best, oh, you know, they're trying sincerely, but Maya is disturbing them. So, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, probably that's why, you know, Guru Maharaj, this, the compassion that he shows, because when he's talking about this incident, Guru Maharaj mentions this line that Prabhupada wants to reach more to people who are unable to, you know, do it by themselves. That means he, Prabhupada, has more compassion for those who are patita. That means he knows it's not possible for them, but they are still trying, and Prabhupada wants to help. And we see same thing in Guru Maharaj's case also. If we see, he's always more kinder to those who can completely not do it. In fact, if you see some, you know, those who are happily going forward in Krishna consciousness, he's happy with them. But if he sees somebody is not able to do it, he gives more energy, more effort, more compassion, more time to those people. And we always observe that in his general random interactions also. He's more affectionate to them. Those who are not able to do, he just tries to give his attention on them. Those who are able to do, he's happy. Okay, you are moving forward. So he sees that same trend, you see, that same compassion of Srila Prabhupada. So, well, anyway, finally he became a citizen, and then Guru Maharaj sent pictures to Prabhupada of cement and steel and all that piles, you know. He just wanted to tell Prabhupada that, yes, you know, I'm enthusiastically working and the construction is going on. And Prabhupada wrote a letter back saying, I don't want to see pictures of piles of cement and steel. I want to see buildings. Send me picture of buildings. So then Guru Maharaj said, yes, we are trying, we are working in that regard. So anyway, and then in the 1972, Chota Radha Madhav comes to Mayapur. Because one Indian gentleman had given three sets of deities of Radha Krishna. One was sent to Berkeley temple, one was sent to Boston, and one was traveling with Prabhupada. So in 1972 Gaur Purnima festival, when Prabhupada bought those Radha Madhav deities, after that he never took them back. He said, now they'll stay here and you worship them. So that's why I think we just celebrated the 50th year of Chota Radha Madhav's arrival in Mayapur just a couple of days back, in I think March 4th or 5th. So Radha Madhav worship started in Mayapur, of course, and then again in the 1980s the big Radha Madhav came. In 1986 the four Sakhis came, and then later the other Sakhis came, and that's how slowly Mayapur started developing. Prabhupada had given one, actually there are wonderful letter, you know, between Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. If we can read all those letters in detail, I'm not able to go so much into detail because we don't have that much time also, but wonderful, wonderful instructions that Prabhupada gave to him. And then in this one letter he was saying that, Prabhupada was telling to Guru Maharaj that follow the principles properly, and if we do everything sincerely, what Gaudiya Math could not do in 50 years, we will do it in 2 years. So, I mean, Prabhupada had that spirit of competition in a healthy way. In a healthy way, he wanted to do better. So he said, we should do it, you know, in Mayapur. We should make an impact in Mayapur. And then Guru Maharaj wrote one letter to Prabhupada saying that, I'm getting too attached to Mayapur. Is it okay? I'm getting too attached to my service. And Prabhupada said, you cannot give up attachment. Either you will be attached to Maya or you will be attached to Krishna. So if you are attached to your service in Mayapur, that's wonderful news. Looks like you have got attached to the dust of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. So this attachment is very good. Continue. And then he also complimented Guru Maharaj saying that in Mayapur there are no disputes. All of you are working in a very cooperative spirit and I am very happy about it. So maybe in some other temples there were some disputes, but in Mayapur they were working in very cooperative spirit. So Guru Maharaj said, so Prabhupada said, I am very happy. And then I hope in my class I am not, you know, making Prabhupada Guru Maharaj words this way, that way, because I'm just speaking in a flow and we are so used to saying Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, that, you know, that word doesn't come for me, Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada also wrote a letter to Guru Maharaj saying that you should learn doll making. You know, that means you should make devotees learn doll making. That is because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very keen about, you know, this dioramas, and he had also, he in the 1930s he had hosted many exhibitions where these dioramas of different lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna were presented. So he, Prabhupada wanted that that should be continued. So he told Guru Maharaj that you should, you know, learn this and you should make others, you know, engage in this doll making. I want that, you know, dioramas should be there on life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in one letter he also gave this instruction to Guru Maharaj saying that I want this temple in Mayapur to be named as Mayapur Chandrodaya. So you start advertising about it. Henceforth, whenever you talk about Mayapur Center, you should put this name, Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. So that was one thing he gave. And then once something very very funny happened, I should say this. There was this brahmachari, his name was Sridhar Das. So he brought one very sophisticated puri making machine. So all these brahmacharis in Mayapur got very excited. Wonderful, no need of making any more endeavor of making puris, because this was just mixing the dough and the puri comes out, you know, the round puris will come out by themselves. So everybody got very excited with this machine and they were all enjoying hot puris. They all sat in a circle and now the puri machine is making puris and hot puris, you know, are served to everybody and they are eating with some jaggery or something like that. And Prabhupada saw this from the window of the grass hut and he called Guru Maharaj and he told him, he said, Jai Pataka, this is not a sannyasi life. Sannyasis should supposed to live simply. So, you know, that means he didn't approve of this puri making machine. So then, you know, Guru Maharaj understood. So now somebody may think, but we thought Yukta Vairagya and utility is the principle and Prabhupada was always, you know, very happy if technology is introduced and try to make things more faster. But Prabhupada was very selective about what should be introduced, what should not be introduced. In this case, he said this puri making machine will simply make our devotees lazy. So I don't want this puri making machine. And I should mention this, which really touched my heart. This four lines, please, dear devotees, listen carefully. He said something so nice. He said, better to take a difficult road, even if you reach your destination late, than to take a comfortable road, which will make you forget your destination. I thought this was so beautiful. Okay, take a difficult road, but at least you are conscious of your destination. But if you take a comfortable road and you forget your destination, then what's the use? So, you know, now we may say that Prabhupada said no to puri making machine at that time, but now we are having puri making machine, rice making machine, sambar making machine, aloo peeling machine in ISKCON. No, now situation is different then and now. So now let's say there were 20 brahmacharis there, but nothing much to do. And now even for puri, if the machine comes, they'll become more lazy. But now even if 100 brahmacharis are there in the temple, 100 are busy doing something. There is a preaching department, book distribution department, this department, so many things. So now yes, you can get a puri making machine because you have other things to do. But depending on the situation, Prabhupada was making a decision that at that time puri making machine was not required. They were not that busy that they can't make puri by themselves. At least by making puri, they were engaged in service of Krishna. So like that, and then in 1974 something special happened, how Prabhupada saw from his window that children were fighting with the dog for the leftover prasadam. Prabhupada was crying and he said, please introduce food for life, you know, there should be food in 12 kilometers or 1 kilometer, I don't know what was exactly that, 10 kilometers or 12 kilometers or radius of any ISKCON, I think 10 kilometers radius of any ISKCON temple, nobody should go hungry. So then they started this, because initially they were doing during the flood time, festival time, now they started doing every day. So they started with 200 people came on the first day, second day 500 people came. So like that they started distributing prasadam in Mayapur. Then Prabhupada was upset about Bhakti Vinod Thakur's statue that was put in Yogapeet. Prabhupada said, why is it put in, you know, as soon as you enter on the right side like a gatekeeper, they're supposed to give more respect to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So like that, whatever was in his heart during his stay in Mayapur and those times, Guru Maharaj was able to associate and hear all those instructions and Prabhupada's heart feelings personally from him. And then something very special was introduced, that was Nitai Pada Kamala, the boat preaching. Oh, that Prabhupada was so happy with that. They had these deities in the boat and there was food distribution in the boat and they were going from village to village and people were coming inside the boat and taking darshan, and Prabhupada used to call it jolly boat because every devotee who was doing service in that boat for some time was becoming so jolly and so happy. And Prabhupada, the Guru Maharaj was sending Prabhupada regularly report. Because at that time there was this Bengali book translated called Gitar Gyan. So Guru Maharaj sent report, 250 Gitar Gyan books distributed. Three new devotees, shaven headed, they have joined and you know, we have shaved their head, three devotees have joined. So like that all the reports were being sent to Prabhupada and he was very happy. And then already those days Prabhupada had started speaking about the Vedic Planetarium, the TOVP which we see now. He was talking about that at that time. He wrote a letter to B.R. Sridhar Maharaj, his godbrother, that my Jaya Pataka, my disciple, you know, he's already in the process and we are going to come up with this big temple. I mean those days when there was absolutely nothing, that Vedic Planetarium is going to come up soon. And then Guru Maharaj was also made a lifetime chairman for Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust. And this was just before Prabhupada left his body in the 1977. Prabhupada made this Bhakti Vedanta Swami Charity Trust. And the main function of this trust is to revive all those places in Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. What we see in this Navadvip Dham. There are so many places which we still haven't seen. There is Sripat of so many exalted Vaishnava Acharyas. And Prabhupada wanted that this Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust will give some money or we will revive those temples, repair those temples. And I tell you personally, I have seen this. I don't know how many of you, apart from our Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, what the places we go, I think just last year, just when the COVID was little down, myself and Prabhu, we went to so many places in the interiors of Bengal, you know, searching with this Google and net and all Sripat of Lochandas Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur and all the Vaishnavachas, and we were amazed. Nobody knows these places, you know, even you ask the local people also, they don't know, with lot of difficulty, the driver was not knowing. We went to those places, you know, like we went to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Sripat. His family members, that lineage is still there. And to our surprise, even in these interior places, you will see there is a mandapam and there is Guru Maharaj's name and Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust. They have made this mandapam. And we were wondering, when did Guru Maharaj do this? So many places, interior of so many places, he has given some money, made some mandapam, revived those places. Wonderful job has been done. you know, sometimes I'm thinking to compile this whole list, and I'm sure they must be, Bhaktivedanta Swami Charity Trust may be having some list, and I think they should put it out for people to know. So many places connected to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have been revived wonderfully. So many nice mandapams have been, you know, and those places you cannot go by walk during Navadvip Mandaparikrama. You will have to take a car. It's some hours drive, 6 hours, 10 hours, 7 hours, interiors. We used to go every day early morning after Mangala, and we used to come back in the night, and we used to manage to see some two or three places, Shripat of different Vaishnava Acharyas, and such a wonderful job has been done by Gurudev. And then jail preaching started. How the jail preaching started? Guru Maharaj went to Vrindavan to meet Prabhupada. And at that time, news came that devotees in Mayapur are arrested because some fighting happened with the Muslims. Then Guru Maharaj immediately ran back to Mayapur. Now, because they were in Krishnanagar jail, Guru Maharaj was carrying prasadam. And he used to carry so much prasadam that even the other jail members also were getting Krishna prasad. So they were becoming so happy. So Guru Maharaj was reminded of the Haridas Thakur, how he was also put in jail. And when he was put in jail, the other members of the jail became very happy because they got association of Haridas Thakur. So same thing would happen in Puri also. Our devotees were arrested and they were in jail, and prasadam was supplied to them, and they were supplying to others and giving them Harinam. And when Prabhupada came to know this, Prabhupada was so happy. He said, what Jayapataka has done, if I was in his place, I would have also done that, you know, giving prasadam in the jail. And that's how the preaching in jail started, you know, initially. And of course, then of course in Chennai and other places, so much wonderful preaching started, jail preaching in a very active way. Then in 1977, Guru Maharaj became GBC. There was one space in GBC, there was one vacancy, and Prabhupada said that I want to make you GBC. So Guru Maharaj became GBC for Bengal and Orissa, then for Assam, then for East India, then South India, then he became for some places in West, then of course later in South America, and then so many other places. And then Guru Maharaj also became an initiating guru. When Prabhupada left, before leaving body, he had this 11 names whom he wanted to act as Ritviks before he leaves the body. He wanted them to act on his behalf as long as he's alive, but after that he wanted that they should all have their own disciples. So this 11 gurus, and Guru Maharaj was one of them, who became the first initiating gurus of ISKCON after Srila Prabhupada. And then 1977, just one day before Srila Prabhupada left this world on November 14th, Guru Maharaj was given a check that go back to Mayapur and make a bhajan kuti next to some pukur, small pond. He was given money, you should go and do this and all. He was instructed. So he paid obeisances to Prabhupada, then he took the check and he left. And when he reached Calcutta, he sees in the newspaper, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has left the body. He felt so bad. I just missed it. I was not able to be there near Prabhupada on that last day. I want to ask him so many things. I never thought he will leave the body. He immediately took a flight to Delhi, from Calcutta to Delhi, and then he drove to Vrindavan. And by the time he came to Vrindavan, already Samadhi was over. And Guru Maharaj felt very bad that he could not be there. But anyway, he thought, okay, no problem. At least I will take those pushpa. So whatever pushpa that Prabhupada was wearing, and Prabhupada's one of the Prabhupada's teeth, and certain other prasadi things, they put it in a golden box, and then that Guru Maharaj and other devotees, they all carried it to Mayapur for Pushpa Samadhi, which we see now in Mayapur, the Pushpa Samadhi. And then now they have to initiate. Prabhupada has left body, now they are initiating gurus, but Guru Maharaj was not able to initiate because it was such a shock for him. For some time, it took him few months to settle down. Then in 1978, 17th April, in Bhadrak, first time Guru Maharaj gave initiation. So his first three disciples were Panchatattva Das, Ram Lakshman Das, and Radha Kanta Das. They got the initiation. Then the second initiation ceremony again happened in Calcutta in 15th of July. The third initiation happened in 26th of August 1978 in Mayapur. And thereon, it's a history. He's initiating and is initiating. I think crossed 51,000 or 52,000. I don't know. But Prabhupada had told him and Bhavananda Prabhu one time that, look, I made 5,000 disciples. You should make 10,000. You should make 10,000. And then he said, why 10,000? Maybe 50,000 you should make. And that word Guru Maharaj had in his heart, that Prabhupada has instructed me to make 50,000 disciples. I want to do it. And I think he already did it. He already finished and crossed 51 or 52,000. So that's how Guru Maharaj became GBC, Guru Maharaj became Guru, and then Guru Maharaj started, of course, the Ganga Safari, which we all know, so famous, famous Ganga Safari. After every Gaur Purnima, he takes devotees with him on a preaching tour to South India, Bangladesh, Narasimha Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastime places. And not only it's just a tour program, it's a preaching program. Wherever he goes, there will be pandal program, there will be dramas, there will be music night, there will be classes, so many things he will do, Harinam, Sankirtan. Political people will come and attend the program, some big industrialists, some big VIPs, and do some preaching. So and at the end, these Ganga Safari devotees, they come back to Mayapur, and on Guru Maharaj Vyasa Puja Day, they sing this Ganga Safari song. Of course, it's not happening now because of COVID, and also after the stroke, also Guru Maharaj never stopped it, his safari. And then, of course, we know about Guru Maharaj's Namahatta preaching, which is amazing because he caught hold of this Godrum Kalpavati book by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and from there he took the inspiration and he started the Namahatta preaching and the Bhakti Vriksha preaching. And then of course he translated and commented on the book by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the Godrum Kalpavati book, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's book, Vaishnav K, and Srila Prabhupada's book, Vrindavan Bhajan, and of course his Gauranga book. And apart from that, all his lectures are transcribed, and so many small books are there, and his question answer books. And I think now he's already working on another book, you know, which of course such a big list is there. What are the other books which are in the pipeline which he wants to do? And then of course he started this Bhakti Steps, Krishna Sadhak, Krishna Sevak, and all those Prabhupada Ashray, Guru Ashray, and all. And then of course the preaching in Middle East, there's the whole UAE and all those places there he's preaching. And then of course special mention about his preaching in Atlanta. Guru Maharaj's first time went to Atlanta in 1981. Prabhupada had called Atlanta temple as New Panihati Dham. And because Prabhupada called it New Panihati Dham, Balavant Prabhu, who was the temple president of Atlanta, he thought our temple is called New Panihati, so we should actually go to Panihati Dham. So he took all his devotees, they came to India, they went to Panihati, they sat under that tree where Nityananda Prabhu has sat, they took prasadam, they celebrated Panihati festival, and they came back to Atlanta, and they thought every year we should do it very grandly. So first year, when 1981, when Guru Maharaj came, and he saw how they celebrate, okay, very nice. But then Guru Maharaj took over the celebrations, and from 1983, it was a different story. It was such a grand celebration of Panihati with all new ideas every time, and cooking himself. And then Mother Lori, Guru Maharaj's mother, had come for Panihati program one time, and she gave an idea. You should have an auction for this, whatever you are making, this Panihati chipped rice. So then they started auctioning it, and then so much fund was raised for the Atlanta temple. And Guru Maharaj, I think one of the favorite temple of Guru Maharaj in the West is Atlanta. It's like his home base, you know. So that we should mention. And then some sad incidents, that is the Spain attack. Guru Maharaj got attacked in Madrid. He was in the airport, he's supposed to take a flight at 11:30, some mad person comes and from back attacks Guru Maharaj, and then he was bleeding completely. Then he was admitted into the hospital, it took him some 2-3 weeks to recover, but then he again continued his preaching journey. But that during that time it became a big issue, somebody said that ISKCON devotee has cut Guru Maharaj. So then some lady parliamentarian, she started anti-cult, she started talking that ISKCON is a cult and see what is happening. And Guru Maharaj saw this in the news in the hospital, from his hospital bed in the TV, that such anti-news is coming. So Guru Maharaj wanted to clarify that he's not an ISKCON devotee who has cut me, some random person has cut. So immediately asked the devotees, please make a press conference. So they had a press conference inside the hospital room, and then Guru Maharaj clarified that it was not an ISKCON devotee, it was some crazy man has, cut me. So then it got clarified that ISKCON is not a cult, and it's not that it's full of crazy people who do all kind of, maybe some occultism or cutting throats and all. So that was clarified. And then the unfortunate incident happened on October 23rd, 2008, Mumbai, early morning. Guru Maharaj got a stroke in the sleep. When his secretary went to wake him up, Guru Maharaj was saying, help, help. He was saying, help. He couldn't understand, what is Guru Maharaj saying? Then immediately they called the ambulance, took him to Hinduja Hospital. Gopal Krishna Maharaj called the Dr. Ashok, who is one of the very top doctors there. And then everybody had given up. The doctor said nothing can be done. For 3 days, Guru Maharaj was not moving. It was lifeless. Then suddenly his thumb started moving. Guru Maharaj wanted counting machine, he wanted to chant. Suddenly devotees got a smile. Yes, there is life and he wants to chant. He wants to chant Hare Krishna. Then they gave him counting machine. He started chanting. And then they told the doctor, visiting doctor, that Guru Maharaj is chanting. They said, it's not possible. Yes, there is no life. No, he's chanting. Then the doctor saw, yes, the counting machine, the number is going up. He's actually clicking. He's actually chanting. So then, of course, you know, we all know how this miracle happened, you know, when everybody had given up and all the doctors had given up that there is nothing can be done. But Guru Maharaj recovered, then he was shifted to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and then Radhanath Maharaj came to meet him and simply mentioned, just to make him happy, do you want to come for Pune program? And Guru Maharaj said, yes, I want to come, and he was serious about it, and they had to arrange an ambulance, and he somehow went to that Pune program, and for the first time he made a public appearance speaking with 2,000 devotees after the stroke. So he did it, and then there was no stopping. He continued his preaching, and then of course again he got a problem in 2018, because when he had got this attack in Madrid, they had done blood transfusion and they never knew that the blood that they had given to Guru Maharaj was contaminated with hepatitis C virus, and that was damaging his liver over a period of time. And 2018, liver completely damaged and he was on dialysis. And then again, that's a huge story, miracle, what happened, and finally he got his liver transplanted and kidney transplanted. And the story goes on, and the story goes on, and the story goes on. There's no end to him, his stories, his pastimes and his activities, and then Corona. And even Corona could not stop him. I think got 2-3 times Corona. But in the unstoppable Jayapataka Swami, nobody can stop him. And he continued and more rigorous preaching. I mean, after Corona, he started the Zoom thing, which is so amazing, going to everybody. I mean, he was already in everybody's heart. But after Corona, he was also in everybody's drawing room, and he was also in everybody's kitchen, and he was also in everybody's altar. Every single day in Facebook Live and Zoom and reaching out to people. And now, I like this one statement that Guru Maharaj makes. He says, I am wounded, but I'm not out of the game yet. I'm still playing the game. I'm wounded, but I'm not out. And then he's doing it. He is not out. He still wants to continue, preaching, and he wants to see this TOVP get completed, and he wants to see all the temples, in ISKCON flourish, and, preaching increase, and he's always inspiring, attending every meeting. Every single meeting, whether it's SIDC or ICC or AIECC or GBC meetings or different committee meetings or preaching meetings, devotees may get tired, but he is active in every meeting, and he has a comment for everything, and he has input for everything, and he's going on and he's going on. So that's it. That's it. We can't end it. Guru Maharaj passed himself like that. But somewhere we need to end it, because we have a time but Guru Maharaj passed himself like that. We can continue and on and on, meeting and giving his time and affection and energy and changing so many people's life every single day, every single hour, every single minute. He's making difference in so many people's life. So, with this, I end it here. Our dear Guru Maharaj ki jai, His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. How I met him first time? It's echoing for me. Oh my God. First time that I... No, my own voice is coming back to me. Somewhere you'll have to reduce the volume. Hare Krishna. Okay. First time I saw Guru Maharaj, I saw Guru Maharaj in Mayapur. But at that time, it was very brief. For me, everything was new. I had just got this prize trip, because I scored. I was first in ISKCON summer camp, so they gave this prize trip to go to Mayapur with my family. So somehow that prize trip was during Guru Maharaj Vyas Puja. So we just, I think just one day before, on the Adivas night, we reached Mayapur. Everything was very new for us. We were staying in the Kanch Bhavan. And next day we came to know that some guru, he is some guru in ISKCON, and it is his birthday. So we were not so much interested also. We just took Radha Madhav's darshan and we were just seeing and looking around, and we saw, okay, somebody is sitting there, fine. And then all these offerings started. I was a young school girl. I think I was in class 7 or 8. So I was trying to hear what is this offering going on, but what I understood is everybody who was starting the offering was saying that I'm so incapable of speaking, I'm so fallen, I'm so this, but still I've got this opportunity to speak about him, so I will speak. That's how they were starting. And me and my sister, we were giggling that if they really think that they are so incapable of speaking, why are they speaking then? Why are they speaking, if they really think they are incapable? And my sister and me were giggling continuously, what is this going on? What are they speaking? And we thought we are not interested, and we were just running around in the temple hall. And then this is what happened. My first meeting was with him, was very far off, he's sitting, and then the devotee who took us there, my Siksha Guru, after that, because it was very hot and we were sweating, so we went back to our rooms, and he brought a Mahaprasadam for us from Guru Maharaj's plate. So he came to our room in Kanch Bhavan and he said, this is a chocolate cake and this is from the plate of our Guru Maharaj, the plate which he eats. So here, this is for you. And my parents took it immediately. They did like this, and everybody took, and he came to me, and I thought, I'm not taking it. In my heart, I didn't say it loud, why should I take it from somebody's plate? Definitely I'm not taking it. But I could not tell it directly because it's my Siksha Guru. So I said, Prabhuji, I don't like cake. So he said, but this is chocolate cake. Prabhuji, I ate so much, Prabhuji, now I cannot take anymore. No, I'm not asking you to eat the whole thing. You just take a little bit. Prabhuji, I have eaten so much, that smell also, Prabhuji, I may vomit. No, it's okay, even if you vomit, you take little bit. I thought, how can somebody be so pushy? And even if I want to eat cake, there is a shop downstairs, I can go and buy one. Why should I eat from somebody's plate? And he was not leaving. He said, if you vomit also, it's okay. This is very special, you should take it. And I thought, he's not going to leave me till I take it. So finally, very reluctantly, I took that Mahaprasad in my mouth. I think you can see the result today of that Mahaprasad, which I very reluctantly took on that day. I had no interest whatsoever. Then after that, that day is over, we took the, I think that was Ekadashi chocolate cake or what, I don't know. And then I was very young, 7th class, means you can understand my memory is also now fading and all. Then next day we went to Rajapur Jagannath. I think we went in boat ride. We went on a boat ride. And Guru Maharaj, we are supposed to get inside the boats. So whichever boat Guru Maharaj sits, everybody wants to sit in that boat only. But what Guru Maharaj does, after the boat is full, he will get up from that boat and go and sit in another boat. Then everybody will fill up that boat. So till the last time, you don't know in which boat he is. So somehow, when Guru Maharaj came and sat in one boat, I also went and sat. We were all sitting there. So I was happy because now I saw him a little bit from close corner. Huge personality. Wow. And then he got up from our boat and went off and sat in some other boat. So then I said, okay, fine, what can be done? So then the boat started. He was on the other boat. But all through this boat yatra, he kept on throwing rose on me, kept on throwing rose on whatever rose or whatever flowers that he had in his garland, kept on taking out one flower and kept on throwing it on me and kept on throwing it from the boat, from his boat to my boat. That was very special. Now, see, those days, that much intelligence is not there and understanding is not there. So I was thinking, I think I'm really special because he's throwing flowers only on me. So many people are there, he's not throwing on anybody. And I was a fool. I could not have that much understanding that Guru Maharaj will do that and make everybody devotee. It's not that we are special. Actually, he is special and he wants to make all fallen people like us devotee. But at that time I'm young, so I'm thinking I'm special. Why is he throwing flower on me? I was very happy, and then, you know, I was going on looking at him, and the whole thing is this psychological thing, you know. You want to, if somebody makes you feel special, you feel very happy about it. So I was very happy. Then we had prasadam in the mango groves, the Rajapur Jagannath temple, and then how Gurumaj was behaving with everybody. Then we had group photo with him. So like that, more and more association I was getting with him in that whole Mayapur trip, and you know, the way he was reciprocating, talking, asking questions. And then after that, immediately within 2 or 3 months, he came to Hyderabad for Rath Yatra. And then my Mayapur prize trip was over, but also my Siksha Guru wanted that I should get Prabhupada's biography as a gift from Guru Maharaj's hand on the day of Rath Yatra or next day of Rath Yatra. In ISKCON Hyderabad, they made a small stage. So as a young girl, I was very talkative, and I used to speak so many things. So my Siksha Guru really wanted that I should speak in front of Guru Maharaj. So he announced, after Guru Maharaj gave me Prabhupada Leelamrita, I took a photo, I was happy. Now he said, now she will speak on her experiences about summer camp. So I'm supposed to speak now, that what was the summer camp and how. And you know, how I'm so happy, you know, how Krishna came in my life and all. But I took that mic, I started the first word, you know, Krishna is, and then I cried and I cried and I cried. Completely I started crying, and I could not speak even one word. And my Siksha Guru was very disappointed that, say something, drink water. I could not. I cried and cried. Then he took me upstairs to Guru Maharaj's room. And then he was telling Guru Maharaj, actually she speaks very well. I don't know why she did like that, but she speaks very well. Then I asked Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, I don't know what, but whenever I speak the word Krishna or I try to speak something about Krishna, I want to speak, Guru Maharaj, but my throat is getting choked and I start crying. Can you bless me that I can speak about Krishna, because I want to speak but I'm unable to speak. So then he had this big danda of ours, and he you know, hit on my head, you know, like this, and then he was so compassionate, and then he said, yeah, it happens, it'll happen. And then he went on to explain what should I do of this problem which I was facing currently. I was unable to speak. Always throat gets choked. What should I do? I start crying. Then he explained what I can do practically about it, and definitely he gave his blessings. So like that, you know, interaction started. And then, you know, it went on, because every year he used to come to Hyderabad. As young girls, you can do so many things. You know, once you become elder, now so much maryada is there, and I cannot go and, you know, sit next to him and do all. But as young girls, oh my God, I used to hold his danda and hold his mala bag and hold his narsima threads. And especially in those days in Hyderabad, not so many devotees. So he is going to the restroom, or when he is just coming down, so many times he used to give his danda to hold and I used to have so much fun. Now I think things are very strict, but those days it was not like that. So I went on a car ride with him. That was more wonderful. Everybody, and he was just going to Secunderabad temple from Hyderabad, and we were all standing, you know, just waving him off. He suddenly, out of the blue, he looked at me and he said, you want to come? I said, yes. He said, come, hop in. That's it. I said, really, Guru Maharaj? He said, come. Then I went and sat behind him in the dikki. You know, I don't know what you call dikki, you know, in Maruti 800. It was Maruti van. It was a Maruti van. And in the dikki I sat. And I, whole journey from Hyderabad to Secunderabad, I thought I am the VIP, and I kept on speaking, and I did not allow anybody to speak. I kept on telling Guru Maharaj, this is RTC Crossroad, this is my computer center, Guru Maharaj, this is my school, Guru Maharaj, this is my this. And we had and you should see his patience, and you know, hearing everything that I had to tell him. And he was hearing and answering and encouraging, and so many special things that he told me in that car ride, which I can't tell this in one class. But I think that car ride with him, I mean, changed my life forever. So many things that I asked him and I expressed, and the way he responded and the way he encouraged me. It was an amazing, amazing car ride. I can't forget each and every word of that trip that I had with Guru Maharaj. It was only me, Guru Maharaj, and Prabhu. There was nobody else in the car. And so many things he said. So many. And then, of course, many a times in life I asked him. The best interaction was school and college days. That was the best interaction. So much. I was getting so much time. I think after marriage and all, you know, then you will have to be in a certain this, you know, you are a married woman, so he's a sannyasi, so many things. But when you're a little girl, you can ask so many things and there is no such, so many things like that. So of course, I mean, some other day I can talk about it because it's not something that I can talk in a minute or so. So many sweet interactions. And but after I got married, very less interaction, became more like management or just something like that. But those days were more sweeter. Because maybe those days I could ask him the silliest question without any inhibitions. Now I speak with my brain, my mind, how can I ask Guru Maharaj like that? But those days it was no mind. You can ask anything. There was no such no such kind of consideration, because I was also a child, so I thought I can ask anything, you know. I took that liberty to ask him. Yeah.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage, sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage, sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage, sab Krishna.